We continue on Samach Aleph Amid Beis on the second wide line. If you recall from the Mishnah spoke about the first part of the Mishnah was that if you're making wine from the grapes of an idolater and you're leaving the wine in his rishus, the question was the Mishnah said if the whole town was if the town was a mixture of Yisraelim and Ovid Kochavim, there's automatic mirsus. And we're not concerned that the idolater is going to touch the wine. But if it's a place where it's all Ovdi Kochavim and there's no mirsas issues, then we're going to be concerned that the idolater is going to touch the wine and render it usr, and render it yayin esach, and it will be usr. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar comes along and says the possession of an Ovdi Kochavim is one. It's a very vague, strange statement. What exactly does that mean? That the rishus, the courtyard of an Ovid Kochavim is one. So the Gemara asks that question. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar lahakel or lahachmir? Is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar coming to be lenient or to be strict? And the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Huda amar Ziri lahakel, Rabbi Nachman amar Ziri lahachmir. So based in the name of Ziri, we have two traditions. One is Rabbi Huda saying he's coming to be lenient, and one is Rabbi Nachman saying he's coming to be strict. So Gemara first focuses on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ziri Lahakel. Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is coming to be lenient and be more lenient than the first opinion of Hachi Kamar Tana Kama. And this is what the Tana Kama is saying, and then how Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is going to argue. Kishem shebirushu so aser kach birushus ovid kachavim acher nami aser. That again, if you listen, if you remember, the Mishnah was very clear, very specific, that you make the wine in the Ovid from the Ovid Kochavim and you leave it in his possession. So the question is, what if you leave it in someone else's possession? What if I bought the grapes from idolater A and I make the wine and I leave it in idolater B's home? Am I concerned that idolater B is going to touch the wine? Since I didn't buy it from him, I haven't paid him any money for it, but the one I'm dealing with is person A. So is B going to touch it, or only are we concerned that A would touch it because I owe him the money? So according to the Tana Kama, they would say, just like if it's in idolater A's possession, it's usher, so too if it's in idolater B's possession, it's also usher. For Chashin and the Gomlin, we're concerned about reciprocal favors, that the idolater B and A will be in some sort of cahoots, they'll have some relationship, and therefore we're going to assume the worst in both of them. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar comes along and says, no. When do we say that the wine is going to be prohibited because we'll assume that the idolater is going to touch the wine? That's only if you leave it in the rishus of the idolater who you purchased it from in the first place. But if it's in the possession of idolater B, another idolater, we're not concerned that he's going to touch it. We're not concerned with this reciprocal relationship. And that, so therefore, what Rav Shimon ben Elazar was saying was, Rishus is as a question. Rishus Ovdi Kochavim Achasi. Are you telling me that the possession of an Ovdi Kochavim is one? No, they're different people. So just because we're going to be strict when it's in possession of idolater A, that doesn't mean we're going to extend the same prohibition if it's in the possession of or in the rishus of idolater B. So that's the first way to understand it, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is coming to be lenient. Rabbi Nachman amar ziri lahachmir. Rabbi Nachman says he's coming to be strict of hachikamer, and this is how you have to read it. Tanakama. Sorry, Vachikamer Tanakama. This is how you have to read the Tanakama's opinion. Bamed varma murim birishu so. That the Tanakama is now going to take the lenient approach. When do we say that we're going to prohibit the wine? That's only if he leaves it in the possession of the idolater from whom he bought it from. But if he put it in the idolater B's possession, the Tana Kama would say that it's mutter. We're not concerned that the idolater B is going to touch the wine. Then we're not concerned about this reciprocal relationship. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is machmir and says, no, kol rishus ovid kacham achasi. No, it's all one. It's all one. The idolaters are all the same. And therefore, we're going to prohibit it, whether it's in the possession of idolater A or in the possession of idolater B. So two different ways to understand Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and therefore Tana Kama's opinion. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya kavaseid Rav Nachman amar ziri lahachmir. We actually have a brisa to support the strict approach. The strict approach being that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is trying to be strict, and the Tana Kama is trying to be lenient. How so? Based on the following idea, amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol rishus ovdi kacham achasi bibnei haramoyim, that any possession of idolaters are all the same. because of these ramayim, that they're gomlim, they are those who reciprocate, and therefore we always have to be concerned about the idolaters. Now the Gemara continues with a related incident. Debe parzak rofila osivu chamra gabe arisayu. Debe parzak rofila is the viceroy. He's the second in command. He placed the wine. It's not his wine. He wasn't. It's wine that was made by a Jew. It's yayin kasher. The wine was placed by arisayu, by his sharecropper, who was also an idolater. Now two things. So in terms of the kashers of the wine, I guess we're going to assume here that the wine was under lock and key, and therefore they didn't have access to it, and then when they moved it, there wouldn't be an issue of Yayin Nesach, as it's unopened, or maybe when the wine was made, the Jew left it in the sharecropper's possession. But nevertheless, it's there, it's Yayin Kasher, and the question is, this is idolater, essentially, the sharecropper is idolater B. Idolater A was the second in command. The Arise is now idolater B. Are we concerned about Gomlin in this case or not? We're about reciprocating, and therefore we're going to assume that he's going to gain access to the wine, and he's going to be metame and make it Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara says as follows, Sab Rabbanan, this question came to the rabbis, what to do? Sab Rabbanan, Kameh de Rabbah Lameh Merki Chashin Ala Gomlin, Hanimili Hecha De Kamosiv Hai Gabe Hai, Haval Hacha Kivan De Arise, Lav Darke La Osove. So the Be Parzak Rofila Legomlin Lochashinan. So initially the rabbi said, wait, hold on a second. This whole concept of Gomlin, of reciprocation, is only when idolater A and idolater B are on the same status, the same social status. But over here, one is the second in command and one is the sharecropper. There isn't going to be any reciprocation between the sharecropper and the viceroy. They're very different levels in their social status. The Sheni Lemelech needs nothing from the sharecropper. If that's the case, even though generally we would be concerned for Gomlin, and therefore we would say that the wine would be prohibited, over here we would say, no, it's the opposite. Here we don't have to be concerned about Gomlin. It's built in already. And therefore we can say that the wine would be permissible. So that's what the rabbis wanted to say. That's what they told Rava. However, Amr Lehu Rava, Rava said back to them, Adar Rava, no, it's just the opposite. I would be just as strict over here. Afilu Leman D'Amr Lo Chashin on the Gomlin. Says, even according to the ones who would say, in general, Gomlin isn't a consideration at all, meaning whatever version of the Tanakhama versus Rav Shimon ben Elazar, everyone in this case would say that it's going to be Usser. Even the lenient ones. Why? Hani Mili Hechatolo Mirsus Minei. The whole idea of Gomlin, when we're not concerned, the one who says we're not concerned for Gomlin, that's because there was never any fear. Idolater A and idolater B never feared each other. They were on, again, the same social status, and therefore they would treat each other the same way. Aval hacha, but in this case it's different. Kivan demirsus minei, since the sharecropper has a fear for the viceroy, mach bi aleh zechusa, what he'll do is he's going to cover it up. He's going to end up lying, and he'll say, "Oh, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't touch anything," because the idolater, the viceroy, doesn't want the idolater, be the sharecropper, to ruin the wine. So he'll do it anyways, and then he'll just lie. He'll cover it up. Say, "No, I didn't do anything." Again, how does he get into it? Well, either there was no lock and seal, and it was the Jew made it, left it in the sharecropper's possession, or he broke into the lock and seal, and that's how he was able to render the wine Yayin Nesach. Okay, so those are the two ways to understand that case. When you're not in the same social status, what's the difference between idolater A and idolater B? Do we give them the same status and therefore we can be lenient, strict, or are they different status and then we'll be lenient? So that's the Machlokas Rava and the Rabbanan. The Gemara continues, Hahu Karka Dehava Yosef Bei Chamer Di Yisrael. There was a village where wine owned by, made by a Jew, was there. Ishtakech Obed Kochavim Dehava Koi Beini Dani. Now what happened was that an Obed Kochavim found this wine, these barrels of wine owned by a Jew, between other barrels of non-kosher wine. So the question was, what is the status of the wine? Is it considered kosher or is it not? Again, apparently, either if there's a lock, if maftech v'chosim, if there's a seal on it, maybe we're not concerned. But it sounds like that maybe there wasn't any lock and seal, or maybe he was somehow... Well, in this case, it would be strange to say that he would break into it when there's a lock and seal. He's just literally walking in the area where there are a bunch of barrels mixed up together. So it sounds like there's no lock and seal in this case. So what's the halakhic status? Do we automatically assume that the vats, the wine, is usur or not? Amar Rava, im nitfas alav kiganav chamra shari v'ilo usur. If this Ovid Kochavim would be concerned that he would be considered a thief, if he could be arrested for being a ganef, then we're going to assume that he's not going to want to touch the wine. He doesn't want to get arrested, so therefore he'll stay away. However, if that's not a concern, then we have to assume that he touched it. Even again, we don't know for sure what happened. We don't have a video camera. But we have to assume that he touched it, since the authorities will not arrest him or reprimand him for his actions. Hajnalach Rabbi Yishmael, Hajnalach Rabbi Yishmael, Hajnalach Rabbi Yishmael. We will continue next time on the fifth and final chapter of the Masechta.